First of all, I do want to apologize for the fact that I didn't get time to get the PowerPoint presentation and the handouts done, so bear with me. Hi, my name is John, and I'm a grateful follower in Jesus Christ. I'm in recovery for sexual integrity, anger, trust, codependency, and smoking. I was born in 1969, and I'm a native Oregonian. I have one younger biological brother who was born a year and a half after me. I have very few memories of my early childhood. When I was 6 years old, my parents both divorced, and both of them remarried with new spouses within 8 months of the divorce. During that time, I gained a stepsister and two stepbrothers. A few years later, my dad and my stepmom moved to the East Coast. My brother and I would see our dad or get a phone call once or twice a year. This is when I started putting my dad on a pedestal. To me, it was difficult for him to fall off that pedestal, even if he wasn't around to show his faults. While growing up, my brother and I lived with my mom and my stepfather. My stepfather was a very controlling man. We were not allowed to go to friends' houses or have them come to our house. We were not allowed to do extracurricular activities like sports or clubs until high school. This prevented my brother and I from developing good, healthy friendships with our classmates. As we were growing up, when we were giving my mom and my stepfather a kiss goodnight, my stepfather would always be hesitant or pull away a little. For years, I mistook this as a form of rejection. It wasn't until 35 years later, when after making amends with my mom, that we started to open up to each other. This is when I finally found out that my stepfather had a toupee and that his pulling away was because he did not want my brother or I to knock it off. Over 35 years of misconceived ideas due to a vanity issue. I had to laugh hard over this enlightenment. All these years of assuming something that really wasn't there. When I was 8, my stepfather's son lived with us for about 6 months, during which he introduced me to my stepfather's pornography collection and then repeatedly molested me. During the time that he lived with us, since he had introduced me to my stepfather's porn collection, I constantly snuck back into my parents' room to either view or steal the magazines. As I grew older, I was used to using the porn to numb the emotional pain from both the mental and emotional abuse of my stepfather. During my early years, we rarely went to church except when we were staying with my dad and my stepmother. While growing up, my brother was favored by my stepfather. My stepfather quickly and repeatedly pointed out everything that I did wrong and that everything my brother did was correct. We were told that we were not allowed to be heard or seen when guests were over, and that we were not allowed to think until we were 35 years old. I was constantly being asked by him if I was retarded and began to truly wonder if I was. Later in my healing process, I realized that the main role model my stepfather had was the military. So he felt that being a drill sergeant in my life would, quote, toughen me up. It had the exact opposite effect. Due to the verbal and emotional abuse, I started to learn how to become a chameleon and put on a mask. I used the mask for self-preservation, to hide my hurts, and to reduce future hurts. During this time, I lost respect for my mother. I loved her, but I did not respect her. I would not figure out why until my healing process started here at CR during my first step study. As I was growing up, I continued on my path of pornography to self-medicate and to emotionally withdraw from everyone. I felt like I was dying each day. Whenever I was sent to my room, I would silently beat on my pillow, wishing it was my stepfather's head. As years went on, I withdrew more into my pornographic addiction and fantasy world. These were my drugs of choice. I was never rejected by the women in the pictures, and in my fantasy world, I could have superpowers or say the right things or mentally replay the situation so that it would play out the way I wanted it to happen. After my junior year in high school, my mom and my stepfather divorced while I was in basic training for the National Guard. I found out just before coming home that we would be moving to Eugene to live with my mom, my aunt, my brother, and finishing my senior year there. During this same time period, my dad and my stepmom moved back to the Portland area. Because of my stepfather being out of the picture, my grades increased, I had my National Guard drills, joined the cross-country team, worked with student council, decoration committee, Mormon seminary classes, junior achievement, speakers bureau, young life, track, and was in the school play. I was obviously making up for lost time. I was so busy and getting home late, but I was feeling better about myself as a person. I had a large dry spell from porn, and after graduating from high school, I finished more training with the National Guard. I eventually signed up for full-time Army. In the military, I did not want to be seen as abnormal to my peers. The training environment was very similar to college. Fort Sam Houston was known as Fort Resort. The ratio was about 60% men, 40% women. I immediately started dating women from my platoon and lost my virginity there. My stepfather passed away when I was 19. For several years after his death, I carried the anger, having been denied the ability of killing him myself. My issues with porn, the fantasy world, and low self-esteem affected my relationships with girlfriends, family, and friends, and even caused legal issues. My walk with the Lord looks like a roller coaster for the next 20 years, peaks and valleys. I eventually got plugged into a large college-age group in the Clackamas area. I gained a lot of new friends, and this is when I started to receive some spiritual gifts, a prayer language, the gift of prayer, and the gift of healing. I had a spiritual peak and then went downhill again. It was just before meeting my ex-wife that I started to dabble into the internet, porn on the internet, chat rooms, and the concept of cyber sex. During the first few years of marriage, I was experiencing a dry spell from pornography and then got back on track spiritually. I then stumbled again around my fourth year of marriage, and my ex-wife found porn on our computer. We separated for 2 weeks until we found out she had a tubal pregnancy and we lost the baby. We could immediately see God's hand in this situation, and my ex-wife and I reconciled for another 4 years of marriage. Eventually, after many repetitive arguments and emotionally pulling away from each other, we separated and eventually divorced just after our 8th anniversary. After the divorce was finalized, I went into a midlife crisis mode. I was active on 8 dating websites at the same time, dated numerous women, surfed porn on the internet, visited porn shops, strip clubs, and nightclubs. After moving several times after my divorce, one of my roommates talked me into coming to the singles group here at Rolling Hills and to try out Celebrate Recovery. I did go for a little while until I had car issues and stopped coming to CR. I did continue to coming to church, attending the singles group, where later I joined the leadership team within the singles group, and I got plugged into a small Bible study, which I eventually co-led and began serving in a homeless ministry. I felt that God was telling me to stop straddling the fence regarding my addiction to pornography and lust. I felt like he was giving me an ultimatum. Either I do something about it, or he would. I did not like the sound of it, but God addresses things in the ways we best understand. And I personally, every once in a while, need that little spiritual frying pan upside the head. After being at Rolling Hills for a couple years, I became a member of the church and had my third baptism. The first one was with the Mormon church, which I had disregarded. The second I felt I did to make my family happy and to look good on the outside to my church friends. During the time of my baptism, my scriptural anchor became Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. As my schedule changed, Celebrate Recovery was still buzzing in the back of my mind. In God's infinite wisdom and timing, I was led back to CR. I'd gone to a few Sexaholics Anonymous and Sex Addicts Anonymous group meetings before, but I had issues with my problem as a definition of who I was. My problem defines me? Celebrate Recovery is different. I realized that my identification is based on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and not my issue. Both the 8 principles and the 12 steps are biblically based. As the Grace teaching states, God does not see us as our past issue, so why should I? I was thirsting to start a step study as soon as possible. I started my first step study on a Sunday night, and after several weeks, our group dwindled to 8 of us. We stuck with it, supported each other, and completed the step study in a blazing 6 months. I'm glad we did it so quickly, because the inventory, confessing, and admitting, I was emotionally raw. We continued on to victory, forgiveness, and grace, which I found emotionally and spiritually soothing. I felt like God was putting a spiritual salve over an open wound, and healing was beginning. Please note, and I emphasize this, when doing your inventory, please record the good with the bad. I end up only doing the bad events, and that was like taking a cheese grater to the skin. Please learn from my mistake so you don't have to do this. Each week that we met, I worked on pulling out the hurts and things that I was ashamed of. Thankfully, this was a gradual process, especially since I had issues trusting people. The Lord was with us, and I knew that I was in a safe place. I was not going to be judged for what I had shared from my weekly homework. I felt this was the first time I had started experiencing godly male bonding. One thing that stood out from my step study homework was the lies the enemy had me believing about my addiction to pornography. My guilt prevented me from praying, reading the word, and I retreated from God. I was made aware of the math behind my sin. I could finally face the wasted money, the wasted time, the people I hurt, the reduced health due to all-night binges of porn, poor performance at work, repeated tardiness or calling in sick, playing Russian roulette with my life due to unprotected sex, pulling away from God and therefore not serving Him. I could finally see how the pornography was reinforcing my lack of respect for women, my mother, my stepmom, my ex-wife, and girlfriends. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 states, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." After my first step study, I was immediately shown why I needed to be here. Every lesson being taught and every testimony presented on this stage was hammering both home in my head and my heart each of the steps. Every time, God would give me a little gold nugget, something I could walk away with that would touch me personally. Small group would show me how true brotherly love works. Each week, I get to know my brothers, know the brothers in my group a little bit better, and found that doing prayer cards each week was reinforcing that I'm here not only for my own healing, but for also the love for my brothers grew. My hopes and support for their healing grew as well. I reconciled with my mom, allowing healing, and now look forward to You read it so many times and don't get choked up. Then you get up here and wow. I reconciled with my mom, allowing healing, and now I look forward to talking with my mom, spending time with her and learning how to respect her. During my first step study, the Lord showed me new areas to work on, such as developing healthy boundaries, having deeper relationships with friends and family, and addressing my repressed anger. I eventually started a second step study. We didn't lose very many people at all. Our leaders implemented using an app to foster daily connection with each other. This was great. We use this format to allow contacts with each other daily, hourly if needed. A prayer request could be posted, and within minutes, four to seven brothers were praying. In this step study, I continued to work on my recovery from sexual addiction and anger, and to lean more on Jesus, and not listen to the lies of the enemy. Sorry, it's hard to see through tears. The Lord showed me new areas to work on, such as codependency, selfishness, pride, procrastination, and to quit smoking. He gave me a new passion to serve in new areas, pushing the envelope spiritually. The second step study drove home the concept that both our recovery and our spiritual walk are about community. We don't fly solo in our journey of healing or in our walk with God. Collectively, we support each other. When we are separated from the body, the enemy can pick us off one by one. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We are to be mentored and eventually pay it forward by mentoring others. Having the love and support from my brothers and sisters in CR has given me a better glimpse of what God's love is really like. In June, I celebrated my 3-year anniversary of sobriety from pornography and started my third step study. This time, serving as a co-leader, I'm looking forward to see what God has in store for me. I love the milestones achieved in recovery, or one of those aha moments, regardless if it's mine or someone else's. I recommend that each of you participate in this step study and to serve. Just to attend on Wednesday nights is similar to only coming to church on Sundays. We get it, but there's a deeper understanding when we put what we learn into action. For years, I had seen God use people's past for his glory and wondered if and how he would ever do this with me. So I waited, and I waited to see if he would. Well, after starting the healing process here, I realized it wasn't me waiting on God. It was God waiting ever so patiently on me. If you're new to CR, please do not compare yourself to others. Your walk and your past is different than mine and different from the person sitting next to you. God uses our past and our passions in uniquely different ways. Please do not compare yourself to your sponsor, group leaders, or others around you. We are all collectively the body of Christ, and as the body, each of us has a uniquely different way to serve, each of us bringing our own God-breathed talent, gift, ability, or experience. I hear people saying that they feel like they can't talk about their past for fear of rejection. I used to think that as well. There's a lot of things that I have experienced that are too numerous to share in my testimony. I share the more intimate parts of my testimony one-on-one, not as a way to say that my sins were worse than yours, but as a way to illustrate how God can heal pain in all areas of your life and my life. As I continue to work on my recovery and my relationship with my Lord, I try to focus on step 10. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it, followed by step 12. Having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Both steps focus on a continual process, not just something to be checked off on a list. I found some of my trigger points, and to this day, I'm still learning of ones that I had not noticed before. It took me 40-plus years to screw up my life. Now it is a process and a wonderful journey on a path to healing. I look forward to the continued support of my Celebrate Recovery family and daily strengthening my relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've heard the definition of a godly relationship is servant, serving servant. I feel that Celebrate Recovery truly strives to embody these kind of relationships, to foster healing and maintaining a safe environment for everyone. I personally want to thank everyone who has had any kind of influence on my recovery, whether it's something you said in your testimony, a teaching, an answer given in a step study, small group, during dinner, or casual conversation during Solid Rock. Thank you so very much, and thank you for allowing me to share my testimony.